Because I think this is important to understand that the purpose of God's favor is for God's plans and God's purposes. That when God bestows favor upon you, it's because he has a purpose and he has a plan that he's trying to work through you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Walking in God's Favor, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Walking in God's Favor, Part 2.
This morning, we're going to continue the message that we started last week. I didn't get a chance to finish it. But one big difference between this week and last week is that you do have notes. Last week you didn't have any notes. And as I was putting these notes together, you know, I thought that I just felt the Lord impressing my spirit to put a little more detail in it. And the reason that I put a little more detail in it this week is because I just feel that there's somebody that needs to take this message to somebody beyond Bethany. And that when you go to share, you know, we want you to be able to have the full representation of what was said instead of an outline. So, you know, I pray that you would ask God to show you who you're supposed to share this message with. Because I think that a lot of people really don't understand the favor of God. And as I look at the favor of God and I see what it has meant to me personally over the years, you know, I want to hold on to that favor. I don't ever want to be in a place where I'm not in the favor of God. You know, last week we talked about Adam and Eve and how that they had favor with God and how they lost favor. We talked about King Saul in the Old Testament and how he was anointed by God and he had the favor of God and he lost that favor of God. And as I talk this morning, I want the favor to be something that all of us desire and that in desiring that we don't want to lose the favor of God when we get it on our lives. As we look at the message today, I want to make a lot of references to the notes, and we have the overhead PowerPoint presentation. But when we look at favor, and I'm going to start out by looking at the notes, and we see many believers have failed to realize the power of God's favor. Ask the average believer the meaning of God's favor, and they could not tell you what it means. So let's stop right there. You know, and if you were one-on-one, and somebody asked you to explain the favor of God, could you explain it? Could you tell them about God's favor? Could you tell them what God's favor means? And also, could you tell them how you have personally experienced the favor of God? Yet we see, And saints, this is powerful. Yet we see, in the stroke of a moment, favor can take somebody from the prison to the palace, from disadvantage to advantage, from unknown to known, and from need to abundance. By God's favor, Noah was selected to build an ark. By God's favor, Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt. By God's favor, Daniel was given special dietary consideration. And by God's favor, the Virgin Mary was chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. Wow. That's some good company to run in right there, Jack. You know what I'm saying? Man, that's the company that I want to run in. Look where favor took them in the stroke of a moment. One moment, Joseph was in prison. The next moment, he's the second in command in Egypt. One moment, Noah is going about living his life. The next moment, God calls him to build an ark. One moment, Daniel and his friends are about to suffer persecution because they don't want to eat the king's meat. The next moment, the guy said, go ahead, you guys eat whatever diet you want to eat. One moment, one moment, one moment, one moment, one moment. Mary was going about her own business when she was stopped and told that she was going to be the mother of the Messiah. And what do all those scenarios have in common? The one thing that all those scenarios have in common is that all of them, it is said, had the favor of God on their lives. What is favor? There's a lot of definitions of God's favor floating around, but favor simply is God's approval with or delight in an individual, that God sees something in an individual and it results with him treating them with special consideration. So, you know, I've added a lot of stuff from last week, so I'm going back over some things, but I've added some stuff. What a beautiful illustration of this is in the book of Ruth. Boaz was a very wealthy man who did not know Ruth. She was a foreign woman from another country. And in spite of this, the Bible says that Ruth found favor with Boaz, and he gave her special consideration when it came to gleaning the fields. That he told her she was going out in the fields, and he said, no, you don't have to go. You know, I'll send somebody else. They'll glean, and they'll take care of the situation for you. And what was it that changed his heart? What was it that gave him perspective? It says it was the favor, that he had favor towards Ruth. You know, I call favor one who finds God's VIP treatment. That when you have favor, you are a VIP in the name of in the eyes of God, and that he treats you with special consideration. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe you have done it, or maybe you have heard somebody say, man, can you cut me some slack? You know, I know, you know, I say that, man. You know, I say, come on, bro, man, can you cut me some slack, man? Well, you know what? When you got favor, you don't need anybody to cut you any slack. Why? Because God got it. God got this in your life. And favor will take you places that you can't take yourself. And as we think about what is the purpose of God's favor, now watch this now. Watch this. Because I think this is important to understand, that the purpose of God's favor is for God's plans and God's purposes. That when God bestows favor upon you, it's because he has a purpose and he has a plan that he's trying to work through you. All right? All right. Can you go to that one slide? I don't know if I sent it this week or not, where we talked about all the things that has been done for Bethany. I don't know if I sent that one. Oh, there it goes right there. Now look at this. You know, we are trying to build a sanctuary for the Lord, right? And we say all the time, you know, this is not for Bethany's honor and glory. I hope, as a pastor, that's what I'm saying now. You know, I hope you're saying the same thing. You know, this is not for our honor and glory. This is not a monument to Pastor Glaze or a monument to Bethany Baptist Church that you know, we want to, you know, we had a health fair in here yesterday. Man, it was powerful. A powerful health fair. And I was thinking that, man, you know, whenever we get the new sanctuary, maybe on a Sunday morning after church, we could do this same thing and don't have to worry about breaking down and setting up, but it'll already be set up. And so, you know, we want that building so we can do more ministry in here. But when we go over there, we want to glorify God also. And so when we think about how God has blessed us, because, again, you know, the right perspective, because we want to build an edifice to his honor and glory. And where God guides, he supplies. Where he leads, he feeds. And where he directs, he protects. And so God, if you're doing it for God's honor and glory, he will shower his favor upon you so that his will be accomplished. And remember what I said last week about favor? is that favor touches somebody else's heart. That you need somebody else to have a change of heart or a change of mind about something. And so as we look over the years and just have seen how that God has touched other people's hearts, how God has done that, and you in your life, you can have the same thing. I'm going to share with you some things a little bit later on in the sermon. But you can have the same thing in your life where the favor of God touches you and you can experience the blessings of God in your life. Now, there's a couple other things that I said last week that I just want to highlight real quick, and that is favor is a game changer, right? Favor is a game changer. Now, when you think of a game changer, you know, what do you think about? It's, watch this, that here you got this contest, right? Football, baseball, basketball, whatever it is. That's going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. They're playing this game, right? Back and forth. But then something happens that completely changes the direction of the way that the game is going in the favor of one team, right? So this game that has been going back and forth, all of a sudden a play took place that turned the game around. And watch this. Oh, don't miss this. But it changes the momentum of the crowd too. Right? Have you ever seen these games where the crowd was into the game? I mean, man, they were cheering and they were psyched up and they were fired up. And then all of a sudden a play happened that went against the home team. And what happens to the crowd? They just get deflated. They just get deflated. And the same thing is true. You could be deflated and see one play that takes place that gives you energy. And that's what God's favor can change things in just one play. He can turn the whole thing around. And then I quoted this comment by Mike Murdoch. He said, one day of favor is worth 1,000 days of labor. I like that. I like that. One day of favor. You can spend 1,000 days trying to accomplish something that God can take care of in one day. One day, he can turn that thing around. I said that favor can't be transmitted, but others around you can benefit from it. And, you know, favor doesn't go from generation to generation. You can't give favor over from generation to generation. But those that are around you, that they can be the recipients of favor. That when God rains down his favor on you, those around you will benefit also. You know, and again, I shared this last week, but my wife and I, you know, we've told our kids, you know, especially when they were in our home growing up, and they saw how God, man, just poured out his blessings on our family. I remember one Christmas, man, I wasn't working, and we didn't have anything. And by the time Christmas was over, we had Christmas dinner. My kids had bicycles, baby dolls, and all kind of toys. And I mean, just the abundance. And I said that they were blessed by what? The overflow. They were blessed by the overflow. Just by being in our home that they received the blessing. And when God's favor rests on you, that others will be blessed by the favor that God has. Now, we did say last week, and I want to hasten to say that again, is that the Lord's favor, because sometimes we get the wrong idea, that the Lord's favor does not mean that we are free from hardships. It doesn't mean that we are free from hardships, because we looked at these people last week, and we said that Moses had God's favor, he had problems, Hannah had God's favor, and she couldn't have a child. Job had God's favor, and he went through all kind of adversity. Daniel had God's favor, but he was thrown in the lions then. Paul had God's favor, but he had all type of issues. So just because you have the favor doesn't mean that you're not going to have hardships. But the blessing is, as you go through the hardships, now let me ask you this. Would you rather go through the hardships with God's favor or without God's favor? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'd rather go through the hardships with God's special consideration of me. And then we talked last week, how do you obtain favor? How do you obtain favor? And, you know, we said, well, let me hit this since we're there, right? You can go back. I'll talk about that. I wasn't going to, but I'll talk about that. That favor and grace are two different things, right? You know, a lot of people, you know, in situations, they say, I need the grace of God. And I'm thinking, no, you don't need God's grace, right? You don't need God's grace. You need God's favor, you know, because God's grace is his unmerited favor. You can't earn God's grace. God's grace is given freely. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift. Oh, it's what? Faith, I mean, grace is a gift of God, and favor is something that's merited. And how do you merit favor? If you go to that next one, how do you merit favor? You merit it by seeking after wisdom, by fearing the Lord, by living righteously, and by prayer. And so if you're not seeking wisdom, and if you're not fearing God, and if you're not living righteous, well, you don't even need to ask God for a favor, right? I'm being honest. You know, why in the world would God give favor to somebody that's not living right? You know, why would God give favor to somebody that doesn't respect and fear him? So there has to be that fear of the Lord. There has to be that seeking after wisdom. There has to be that living by righteousness. And then you pray and ask God for favor. So that's where I left off last week. So let me pick up this week. All right. Made my mouth dry. So what I want to talk about today is, what will favor do? Oh, what will favor do? So I'm just going to, this is in your notes, but look at this. Favor will allow you to receive recognition that you can't get on your own. Favor will open doors that you can't open on your own. Favor will allow you to receive blessings that you cannot get on your own. And favor will allow you to get victory where you can't, that you cannot get on your own. So let me start by saying this. Favor will give you recognition that you can't get on your own. Turn to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. And in Genesis chapter 39, look at verse 20. And Joseph, you know, he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of trying to have a relationship with her. And Potiphar knew that, he knew what the deal was. But, you know, because the word was out there that Joseph fronted on his woman, that, you know, he would have looked like a fool if he didn't do something. So he had to put, he had to do something. Even though he didn't want to do it, he had to do something with Joseph. So he put him in jail. And so verse 20 says, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, but he was there in prison. All right, so put this picture in your mind, right? Joseph was in Egypt. You know, he was selected by Potiphar to come be in his house. So these people don't know who Joseph is, right? I mean, for the most part. And so all of a sudden, this guy shows up in prison, right? All of a sudden, he shows up in prison. And notice what the next verse says. He just shows up in prison because Potiphar put him there. But, oh my goodness, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Wow. Because of favor that this ordinary guy who went in as an ordinary prisoner became an extraordinary overseer of the prison. What did I say? Favor will allow you to receive recognition that you cannot get on your own. And you know what? I said, Lord, I want to make this real to the congregation. So the Lord gave me four illustrations out of my life and out of the life of the church that I want to share. So here's the first one. For years, we had a radio ministry on different stations. We were on WHAMO at one point. We were on several local stations. We started out right here in Homewood, right? There was a local station right here, and we had a half-hour program. Me and Jeff would go into the studio on Sunday morning before we came to church. We would go to the studio, and we would do a program, and a couple times we did live program, right? So we're doing this, and one day I get a call from the station manager at Word FM, and he says, I'd like to talk to you about coming on Word FM. And so I went, and I talked to him. Now, I'm not going to tell you the good part of the story. Let me tell you this first part. So I went, I met with him, we talked. I said, well, you know, we got to meet with the leaders of my church. And so we got all the deacons together, and some of you guys might remember this. You know, we went out to Word FM, and we sat there, and we were trying to figure out, I mean, because this was a whole lot more money, a whole lot more money than what we were paying. And so we talked about it, and we said that we're going to step out by faith and do this radio ministry, right? So we stepped out by faith. But I'm not going to tell you. Let me tell you what the radio manager told me. See, I didn't say this, but he told me, and I don't know if he was, I'm not sure. Let me not add to and try to psychoanalyze him, right? But he said, we're going to make Bethany famous in the city of Pittsburgh. That's what he told me. And I was like, okay. Right? Wow. That's, and I'm thinking, okay, how can that happen? You know, and as a result of God's favor, I didn't contact the man. He contacted me. God put it in his heart to contact me. And right now, you know, Anchored in Jesus radio program has turned into Anchored in Jesus Ministries, where we have a weekly devotional. We have a bi-monthly Facebook presentation. We have merchandise. We even have this service right now. It's being recorded on television. And you can, during Cornerstone TV, you can watch it throughout the weeks, three times. You know, all started with what? With going on to Word FM and what he said. And so favor will allow you to receive recognition that you can't get on your own. And it's like I told people, man, now we got Anchoring in Jesus book bag, Anchoring in Jesus hoodies, Anchoring in Jesus t-shirt, Anchoring in Jesus aprons, Anchoring in Jesus pins, and getting ready to have Anchoring in Jesus funeral home. No, just kidding. but I'm trying to show you, man, that when God touches your heart to do something for him, that he's going to bless you with favor, and he's going to allow you to accomplish the things that he wants you to accomplish. The second thing, favor will open doors you cannot open on your own. Favor will open doors that you cannot open on your own. Daniel chapter 1, the prophet Daniel chapter 1 and verse 9. In verse 8 it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart, that he made up in his mind, that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's food, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Walking in God's Favor, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Walking in God's Favor, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Walking in God's Favor, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Walking in God's Favor, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources, and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.